This is MSO News Sports, and we are joined by Anthony LaFrada, the football coach at Lynn English High School, entering his second year with the Bulldogs. And this is a continuing series of our interviews with North Shore High School football coaches and actually college coaches as well, as we kind of learn more about them, their backgrounds, their early experiences with football, and then on to coaching. So, Anthony, welcome. Great to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Anthony, as we record this, we're prior to the first workout on the 18th, but this will probably air very closely to that eventually later this week. But Anthony, share with me some of your early experiences, or when do you remember first seeing a football, handling a football, and then maybe later on playing football?
My first memory of football for me is playing knee football with my brother in our downstairs basement. We wouldn't run towards each other, but we'd be on our knees, kind of like crawling, if you will, with a football in our hand, and we'd be trying to tackle each other and strip the ball out and just try to get to the other side of the room to get a touchdown. That's my first, like, honest to God, one of my first memories.
It sounds like a great plan to reduce injuries, Anthony. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
even
running each other full speed. But you know, my dad would be there making sure we're not killing each other, and he'd have football on in the background. So that's one of the first memories I have. And but from there, it just evolved into two-hand touch with friends, and then eventually getting on the actual football field in middle school and then high school.
What football did you play then at middle school? A regular high school, that little, like Peabody Middle School football?
Yeah. I played in eighth grade, I played for Peabody Pop Warner. I was on the B squad, and we had a good team that year. We actually went to the playoffs that year. And then my freshman year of high school, I signed up and played Peabody High and played all 4 years.
What were your positions at Peabody?
Cornerback on the defensive side. Freshman year, we actually had so many kids, we only had to go one way. So I played corner on defense freshman year. And then when I went to varsity, I was mostly wide receiver and still at cornerback.
Gotcha. Okay. And who was your coach when you were playing at Peabody?
So during those years, we actually had, my freshman year, I believe, was Coach Yuva. But I was on the freshman squad, so we didn't really work with the varsity. But then my sophomore year was Coach Dick Woodbury, and then my junior and senior year were Scott Belassett.
Oh, yeah, Scott. Yeah, great guy. All right.
Very good guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as you now, did you play football beyond high school at all?
I did not.
Yeah. So high school was it. So in your Thanksgiving, do you have a game or two that you can remember? You know, sometimes people are remembering the first game they stepped on the varsity field, as a player, or you know, maybe it was a loss, a win, whatever. What kind of games do you recall from your high school days?
I remember, you know, it's funny you say the Thanksgiving game. The Thanksgiving game senior year stands out to me. We lost, which really was crushing because, you know, Peabody has had, obviously, the upper hand in their rivalry with Saugus. But that year, Saugus beat us. And, you know, we started off hot. We actually got the lead. We went up and got the first score of the game. And then we just stalled on offense. It was very low scoring. But when the game was over, I just remember kind of sitting there with my best friends on the field, tears in our eyes. Like, we couldn't believe, not even so much that we, you know, lost, but also that it was over. That was the last time most of us were ever, I would say 95% of us were ever going to play football again. And, I'll always have that memory, you know, sitting there with my best friends and, having that kind of bad feeling. It's, you know, you look back on all the good times you had, and then in that moment, you're like, wow, it's over. And, you know, as a coach, you stress that to the guys. It's going to come a lot faster than you think, and it sticks out in my memory.
Do you have a positive note or two from your high school days? That's kind of a downer, Anthony. But I'll follow up with that. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, absolutely. We have a couple positives too. Yeah, I don't want to make this a negative conversation. One of the positive memories on the flip side of that is, junior year, I remember we played another rivalry game. We were playing Salem, and, it was a very close game. We ended up pulling it out at the end. And we were on the offensive side. We had to get a first down to run out the clock. We managed to get it. And then, you know, the whole team just storming the field because it was one of those super close games. You know, if you're going to pull out. And the Peabody-Salem rivalry just, you know, made it that much more intense. We were on the road and just having the whole team storm the field after a big win. It was a really cool feeling. I remember that vividly from my junior year.
Yeah, I did want to circle back, though, to the Saugus game you were mentioning just a moment ago. And that, you know, I got to think that game is, you still think about that game a lot when you go through your season, your Thanksgiving as a coach and all these things, all these possibilities, because it stings and it stays with you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's nothing like the Thanksgiving Day game. We say it all the time. You know, and coaches, and as you get to Thanksgiving game, that's the one that makes the season, especially against your rival. You know, whether you've had a great year and you lose, it can kind of leave that sour taste. And if you've had a bad year, but to pull it out, you feel like you had a successful season. So it's always the big one.
All right, let's move on. So there could be some space in between here, but you graduate from high school. How do you get into coaching, and what were the steps that, you know, went through your life that got you into coaching?
Well, I was very lucky to, my father was a football coach. You know, I documented that in other interviews. My dad started coaching when I was in elementary school, and, you know, just being on the high school football field on Friday nights, just having that feeling from when I was a little kid on the sidelines to being a player, Peabody High, I knew it was something I wanted to continue to do. So when I was at Salem State, I actually transferred to Salem State my sophomore year of college, and he was still coaching my father. And I just asked, you know, the staff if I could come around and help out any way I could. And I did that for 2 years, just mostly on game days, just doing whatever they needed me to do. And then I think it was 2013, the fall of 2013, I was officially on the staff.
And where did your dad coach at that time?
He was at Lynn English, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Okay. All right. So there you are. That's your ticket to Lynn English, I guess, or getting into Lynn English. All right. Yeah.
Yep.
And of course, now just your second year there. As far as coaching influences, obviously your dad had to be a big one, but maybe explain that a bit more to us, or other coaches that have been influential in kind of shaping you as a coach that you are today.
Yeah, there's a few names that come to mind. I'll just say about my dad is that, you know, I saw him rise through the ranks. You know, he started off as a freshman coach, and he was doing JV, and then he became the varsity line coach, and then even offensive coordinator his last year. And, you know, just understanding that, like, any job, any profession, you know, any, even just in football, you got to put the work in and you got to put the time in. And I know he learned a lot every year he coached, and he helped, and he passed that on to me, particularly his knowledge about the offensive line and what he was able to do coaching them. And that's really where I started to learn the game of football, you know, more from the mental component, was learning about the offensive line, and he taught me that. But just a couple other coaches real quick. I was very blessed to coach under Steve Cummings, now the head coach of Saugus. It's funny how everything comes full circle. I coached under him at Wakefield and at Saugus, and, you know, the biggest thing I learned from Steve is just the dedication you got to have to coach. If you want to put, you know, if you want to put guys in the best position to win, if you want guys to be successful both on the field and off the field, you know, you gotta put your heart and soul into this. And, you know, Steve, you know, put everything he has into coaching football. He's one of the best coaches in this area. He truly loves the game and understands the game. So I was very thankful to coach under him. And then finally, not related to football, but I did coach track and field also at Wakefield when I was coaching football there. And Ruben Reynoso was the head track coach of the boys team, and his assistant Perry Pappas. They won 2 state titles in track and field. They've been runner-up a couple times. Pappas has won the cross country. And, you know, I was able to learn that, again, you got to lead by example. You got to, you know, if you're going to tell kids you need to show up every day, you yourself need to show up every day. You know, if you're going to tell kids they got to do the right thing when they're not at practice, you have to do the right things when you're not at practice. And that level of commitment, just constantly striving to be the best. It doesn't matter what the sport is. If you preach it and you practice it, you know, your players will follow suit. And I learned that from them.
You know, I just actually concluded an interview last week with Steve Cummings. We knew him from Wakefield when he was over there. Probably you were there at the same time, you know? And,
yep.
And, you know, he's so positive, and yet, you know, he has some very different experiences. For example, his team won a thriller on Thanksgiving his senior year when he was playing for Marsfield. You know what I'm saying? What a great story that was. And we have that up on a post on our website here. But you're right about all these different people, and it doesn't have to be a football coach to influence you. And can you share anything more else about Steve? Because, again, we're following up with Steve now. You know, now that he's at Saugus, obviously.
Yeah, no, like you said, Steve was one of the most positive people. I swear, if Saugus High School was playing the New England Patriots, Steve would like his chances. he believes in his guys. It doesn't matter the time, the day. He'll go to battle. He just wants to coach football, you know, and that's his biggest thing about him. He loves the game. He's great for the sport. He's great for any school. They're lucky to have him as the coach because he brings that positive energy. You know, he just want, you know, if he could stay on the football field from 6 in the morning to 10 at night, he would do it. He just loves everything about the game. He takes it in. He's willing to you know, accept, you know, some criticisms. He's willing to listen. Anything to be a better coach and be a better football team, Steve's willing to do. So, like I said, I was very lucky to coach under him. I was very thankful he gave me the opportunity because when I did coach for him, I actually coached a running back, such a position I had never coached before, but I learned a ton. Just from talking to him, from coaching, from having to learn about that position. You know, the guys he brought on staff at Wakefield, you know, Chris Tolios is now the D coordinator at St. John's Prep, and he was on our staff. So I learned a lot from him. You know, just great opportunities. Steve is a great guy, and the guys that he coaches are very lucky to have him.
Yeah, and you do. The way you document that is other coaches have said the similar things, Anthony, in the sense that you're learning things and you, as a coach, as an assistant coach, and you could be learning them in meetings, reviewing film, you know, an event or two at a practice, sometime in week 6 of the season. You never know when it is, but right. You are picking up things all the time, and that does shape you as a coach.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like you said, it you know, you can't, what I learned too is like, as when I started off as being a head coach, I knew one of the things I wanted to be very aware of was, you know, trying not to be like, we're going to do everything my way. I'm always right. Like, you can't have that mentality. You have to be willing to listen to your assistant coaches and even your players. You have to hear them out and talk to them. And, you know, Steve did that. You know, when I was coaching at English with Peter Holy, was the head coach when my dad was here. You know, he did that. You know, you just have to be willing to take in all sorts of input because you never know when, you know, you're going to learn something new. So always listen to these guys, listen to the people you surround yourself with, and, you know, you'll be better for it.
Yeah, the smartest guy in the room is not the guy that thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, for sure. Yeah.
Amen to that. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we've probably asked this in a roundabout way, but outrightly, how would you say you have evolved as a coach? And again, probably you've shared some of this with me already, but how would you answer that?
That's a great question. You know, I think from a football standpoint, it's you know, I remember when I started coaching, you get very caught in the moment of each game, every play. You're almost like watching the play unfold as opposed to trying to think of what am I going to do with this play. If we lose, you know, if this is a tackle for a loss, how are we going to adjust, you know, our second or third down play? Are we going to go for it on fourth down? Are we going to punt? You know, what's the time situation? In your early stages of coaching, you're very caught in the moment. And as I coach longer, and now even being a head coach, I got to think more about, you know, 2, 3, 4 plays down the line. What is the potential situation and what are we going to do, you know, based on what the situation is? That's, for me personally, that's the biggest thing I know I've learned along the way.
You know, I think that's very perceptive because I think a lot of us say in my job many years broadcasting football games or watching them on TV, you're taking it play to play. You're right. And you're just seeing how that play reacts and your life is not on the line as to whether Lynn English gains 12 yards or loses 3 yards, you know, and now it's third down or fourth down. You know, that you're living moment to moment up there, kind of just telling what's going on. But and as a viewer watching the Sunday football games or the college games, you know, I find myself doing the same thing. But you're right, you know, there is a lot. As a coach, you really got to have a much broader view of things, spatially and time wise as well. Good observation. Yeah,
I mean, that's one of the things I learned from Steve. I just on the sidelines, third down, we'd have like whatever, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7. depending on where you are on the field, he would look to our offensive coordinator and say, hey, you got two downs here. Like, he's already knowing whatever happens on third down, we're going to go for it on fourth because of the situation, the time. So, you know, that was one of the things I learned from him is, you know, just be ready. Be ready for what the situation comes because you don't know what exactly it's going to be.
Right. Was there a game that is either growing up, you know, watching as a player, you saw it on TV, you saw it in person, college, pro, whatever, scouted as a coach, coached in a game, whatever, that is impactful for you that you take with you? You know, clearly you kind of mentioned that Saugus Peabody Thanksgiving game your senior year as a player. But are there other games that are impactful to you that you kind of that still kind of just continually, you know, circulate up the upstairs there?
You know, there's a couple in recent memory, and they're both high school. You know, maybe it's just because, you know, where my mind is with the high school football. But I think back to my first official year on the staff. I believe this is 2013. I have to go back and double-check the year. The first one is Lynn English versus Havel. Like, the very first year of the playoff system that they instituted now in the state of Massachusetts. And I was coaching, and we got in as an 8 seed, and Havel was the number 1 seed. So I think we were still in Division 1 or 2 at this point. And, you know, Havel was supposed to beat us up pretty good. They were undefeated at the time, and we went into Havel. And we lost that game, I think it was 10-7, I think was the final score. I know Havel did not score an offensive touchdown. Their only touchdown was a pick six. And, you know, that stands out. The reason I bring that game up is because we were supposed to get blown off. A lot of times in high school football, if you're, you know, sometimes if a team has superior talent, it eventually pulls through. You know, 8 seed versus 1 seed. I don't think there's been an 8 seed that's upset a 1 seed since they started this playoff format. And we were that close when I was coaching at Lynn English. And the same thing with Wakefield. When I was at Wakefield, we went into Marblehead and we lost by a score. And they were the 1 seed and we were the 8 seed. And we just missed beating them. And what for me as a coach, I look back on those games and say, if you come up with the right game plan and you get these kids to believe in themselves, you're going to give yourself a chance. And, you know, that would have been such an incredible feeling to pull those two upsets off. And knowing twice I've been on two staff that were so, so close, it allows me to give the message to my athletes that you don't worry about what's happened in the past. Don't worry about what your record is right now. You know, let's put it together for these next 48 minutes of football, and we can pull out a victory. It doesn't matter who we're playing. And those two games stand out to me in being able to preach that message.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the Wakefield game, the Wakefield team, and I always used to, we covered the Northeastern Conference a lot when I was at the radio station and then, you know, here at the website, and I always loved the Northeastern Conference Middlesex League matchups because I had so much respect for both leagues, really, and so now you've coached in both leagues. What are your thoughts about Middlesex League football? I mean, it's a tough, I used to compare Middlesex League basketball to the ACC when it comes to tournament time. Don't bet against the Middlesex League. Mm-hmm. This was years ago. I'm not sure if that's totally true anymore, but yet on the other hand, they were formidable back 25 years ago or so, and in basketball and of course in football too. But what was your take on Middlesex League football?
Oh, it's a great league. I mean, you just got to look down at the recent history of the league. I know Reading has won, or at least been in a couple Super Bowls. I believe they won one. Melrose has won a couple. Wakefield won it last year under Coach Raff. You know, Lexington. I think they were down in the past year or so, but they're normally very strong. The Middlesex League is, you know, as far as I think it's across all sports, and then in a football standpoint, those games are tough. I mean, when I was coaching there, we, you know, Stoneham was one of those programs that slowly started to climb. You know, we beat them our first 2 years, and then the third year, they were starting to really come on, and now they've taken off too. There's no gimmies in the Middlesex Football League. I mean, it's a great, great league, really, again, across all sports. But in football, they're athletic, they're tough. Each team does things a little bit differently. Some are spread, some are more of that power football. But there's no layups. You got to bring your A game no matter who you're playing in that league.
No, you're right. And I had mentioned basketball, but you're right. All sports, they're very competitive. You know, you mentioned track just a moment ago, you know, Middlesex League track. So, and I know that, you know, that that's been the case over at Wakefield High School. We did a few years covering both Wakefield and Melrose here on the website. Really enjoyed that. Got to know some of the coaches there and terrific guys and the two ADs there for sure. So, yeah. So anyways,
yeah, Brendan Kent's a great athletic director for Wakefield.
Absolutely, he is. All right, so I did ask you about the impactful game, right? So you've already answered that. You've answered the big question here. So, well, Anthony, here is my last question. Before I ask my last question, is there anything else you wanted to mention that kind of came up while we were talking that you might want to add on to or mention something else related to what we were talking about?
The only thing I can think of is, like, you know, I talk about Steve and Ruben and all these. There's just so many guys that I am thankful to have learned and coached under. I mentioned Peter Holy was the head coach of English when I first started. You know, he succeeded Gary Malaya, who is a dear friend of mine. He's really more like an uncle to me than he is a coach or a colleague. But, I mean, I've learned so much from him also. He really helped English, you know, find its groove there in '90s and 2000s of being a really, really strong football program and just all athletics as the athletic director there. So Gary, Peter, just so many guys. I know I'm missing some people, but I'm very, very thankful to have coached under the people I've coached under, both in football and track and field.
All right, so here's my last question, Anthony. Just for our listeners, again, we're talking on the Monday prior to the Friday first day of practice, August 18th. So just for our listeners, just to keep this one in perspective. But right now, as a football coach, I know all year round you're thinking of football. You're thinking of what I have to do, what this team has to do, you know, where are we, what do we need to do, and who do I need to talk to. But right now, today, what's top of mind for you, Anthony, as far as Lynn English High football? What is it that you're thinking of that really has to get done, you know, soon?
The biggest thing, I mean, I don't know if I'd say it's like soon, it's every day, is we've been preaching this message throughout our lifts, our off-season lift program, throughout our sevens league that we were in, is get better every day. And I tell the kids all the time, we need to get better not only in football but in life. Right, every day is an opportunity to be better. And when we hit that field on Friday, we need to be better than we were when we finished Thanksgiving last year. And then on Saturday, we need to be better than we were on Friday. And that goes for coaches and athletes. That's the message we've been preaching. Get better every single day. Use every rep, use every practice, every play as an opportunity to improve. And that's going to be our motto for the year. And we started on Friday. So, you know, we'll hopefully be better tomorrow than we were today, and so on and so forth.
You know, I'm going to follow up with one thing. How do you feel right now, Anthony? Because I know that as a sportscaster, this was always kind of an exciting time of year. The football practices are about to begin. We football in a couple weeks. But as a coach, I mean, is there a sense that, man, this is about to start, and we got to use every day, be as most valuable, you know, use our time as most valuably as we can. I'm not saying that well, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. You know, because you look at some of the, we want to be where some of these upper teams are in the state. You know, that's your goal. And those teams are, you know, I'm entering my second year as a coach, and we have a lot of, our whole staff is pretty much coming back. We have our same system in place. We have a lot of kids coming back from our team last year. So, you know, I would say in my first year, we were taking baby steps every practice. Now we want to start taking, you know, leaps and bounds. We want to be hitting the ground running because you can't afford to waste time. We have a strong opponent right out the gate in Lawrence. Our first two scrimmages, our Marblehead, who's one of the best teams in the state every year, and Malden Catholic is our second scrimmage. So, you know, you have no time to waste. You gotta make sure you're going full tilt right off the chute on the first day of practice, because these other teams have their systems and they know what they're doing and they are ready to rock and roll. So we got to be able to meet their challenge.
All right, Coach, I'll remember that. Hit the ground running. There you go.
That's it.
But, Anthony, thank you so much for your time and your insights and so on. But it's been great talking with you to get all this information, a little more background on you and your football family, if you will. But, Anthony, good luck this season, and we'll be talking again soon.
All right. Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for all that you do for North Shore football around here. We appreciate it.
All right. Well, Anthony, thanks for your kind words. Hang on the line, but that's Anthony LaFrada, football coach, Lynn English High School, here on MSONewsSports.com.